His last two psukim of the par of the first two psukim of Perek Yud. Okay, so we're learning Perek Yud. Perek Yud, pasuk Aleph and Beis. We do the Mitzudos, the Rashi, the Radak, the Targum, and now let us do the Malbim. Page 807. 807. Shalom Hashem Motto Beis Malkush. Okay, so going back to the original pasuk that Zechariah says, Klal Yisrael, test Hashem. Give him the test, the Bechina. Test Hashem and ask Hashem for rain in the time of Malkush. Nimshach l'mala ha-bachurim ha-basulos yinovu v'yom Hashem roitzim rakdogon v'sirosh. We're going back to the previous pasuk. The previous pasuk is where the children, with the young men, the young women, they only want the basics. They do not. The Malm is l'shitosoi. The Malm learned that the previous pasuk says that that in times of Mashiach, Klal Yisrael is not going to seek luxuries. They're not going to want the Avnei Nezer. That's not necessary. And in fact, the real Avnei Nezer, the only Avnei Nezer, is nothing more than the basics. Yayin, just something to drink, and dagon grain. So this pasuk is continuing in that theme. Rak shalu mehashem motor be'es malkoish, ki Hashem yitena motor behashkocho, v'yagam shalo tiyeh hateva mechunes l'shayirid motor. Even though it's not a time, the end of the season is not a time when it ordinarily rains. In the springtime, in Eretz Yisrael, it's not a time when you expect it to rain. It will be an exception. Why? Ki Hashem, ka Hashem oiseh chazizim, the Tain Matar Mitar Geshem. Return Lemar Hageshem Hashkochi. Loy Levad Litzarech HaRabim Kiim L'Ishechad. Okay, as we learned yesterday in great detail, that this pasuk discusses Hashkocha Pratis. It says here the word L'Ish Esev, L'Ish Esev Basodeh. Okay, now wait a minute. I think we did, didn't we do this? I think we I'm not even, I'm getting all confused. No, we didn't do this. We did the Lukutei Shas. I think we got the Seder that we ordinarily do. We got a little bit mixed up here. No, we don't. No. I'm sorry. I think we did it correctly. Let's just anyway go through it. Let's review. I'm all mixed up in our Seder. It doesn't matter. Let's just go through. Let's go through anyway over here. Hashem oisei chazizim v'itim mitar geshem v'itim lema hageshem hashkochi. Okay, so we discussed this already at length that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in times of Mashiach will provide an unusual degree of Hashkocha Pratis. Every single individual, every single blade of grass will get what it's need, and there will be no collateral damage. Today we live in a world where if one person needs bracha, the only way to give one person bracha is to give it to many people who do not need bracha. If one person deserves punishment, the only way for him to get punished is for there to be collateral damage, and other people will have to suffer along with him. If one member, if a person in the family, Rachman Litzlan, it suffers, so everyone in the family suffers. But what do? They didn't do the crime. One member of a family commits a crime and he has to go and be imprisoned, or has to suffer punishment, so the whole family has to suffer. But they didn't do the Aveira. They don't deserve this. That's the problem in this world. In this world, there is collateral damage. And likewise, when there's blessing, there are people who benefit from blessing that do not deserve, because there are those who do deserve. Toiv l'tzadik, toiv l'shchenav, oy l'rasha, oy l'shchenav. But le'osel l'avol, this will be a fundamental difference in ruling the world in the times of Mashiach. Every single person will get exactly what he needs, and there's not going to be overlap. Pasuk beis ki lo yismchu od kol ha'alakoches hativ. In the future, there will no longer be a reliance upon nature. According to the Malbim, all of these different people, all of these different items mentioned in Pasuk Beis, the Trafim and the Kosmim and the Chalaimois, these represent the natural tools that, I guess the way he is understanding this, is science. Technology, people.
What is this tal misaos? Do you know?
I don't know what it means. No, you know what it means? I don't know.
I'll go look it up.
Okay, look it up. Google to the rescue. Rabbeinu Google also, as you're doing, we'll have a competition. Who can do it faster? Okay, I do this the whole day. what is this word over here mean? Tes lamed mem samach aleph vav Saf K doesn't have a translation. My doesn't have telemes. Telemes. What's telemes? Telemes. No, doesn't have a translation. I don't know what this means. I do not know what it means. V'dachi o itztag ninim. The itztag. What is the itztag ninim? I get people looking the stars. The astrologers. Kasher yakiru ki hatrafim dibu avin v'hakosvim hamagidim asidois alpi hakesem dibu sheger. The diviners speak falsehood. V'chein lo yaminu oid b'chalemais. They will no longer believe in the dreamers. I have a dream. People who have dreams, they will no longer believe in these people. Ki yedu shachalemais shav yidabru. The dreamers are false. You know that Martin Luther King, his thesis, his PhD thesis was plagiarized? The Wall Street Journal itself. The Wall Street Journal itself exposed that his entire PhD thesis was nothing more than a crime of plagiarism. This is the Wall Street Journal. This is not National Enquirer. The whole thing, they have exactly where he took it from. So they'll realize that the dreamers have spoken words of falsehood. Okay? How come they don't say that? How come they don't mention that in the media? How come they'll come cancel me? They'll cancel my Zoom account for mentioning the MS. The year Moshe Shekoydim Bo HaMashiach Yamdu Terafim, that before Mashiach will come, the Terafim V'Kaismim V'Chol Mei Chalemos Yishayasu Esa'am V'Chav Lehem. It's coming to me, Merames, that before Mashiach will come, this passage is coming to teach us, all of these falsehoods in this world, they will be exposed. Before the coming of Mashiach, the pasuk here is revealing to us that that sheker will be exposed. The oz yedu ki ein bom mamash. There will be a realization that sheker is false. Ki al kein al shaminu b'havolim eile. They believe in this falsehood. Nasu kimotzona shoyanu ki ein royeh. Because in the past they believed in sheker, that's why they suffered the punishment of exile. They fled to a land that was not their own, and they were humiliated, they were subjugated, because they had no leader. They had not leaders, they did not guide them according to the laws of the Torah and logic. They confuse them with words of falsehood. They were like sheep that did not have leaders. The Pasuk of Yoseph is referring over to Klal Yisrael. It's telling us in terms of Mashiach that in the past there was a great deficiency, dearth of quality leaders, leaders who promote the truth. And because of that, the Jewish people, they fled. Nasu, they fled, and they were like sheep without a leader. Now you can also say this is true not just for Klal Yisrael. There are many perushim, many, many different layers of interpretation that this is true for the world. The world today suffers from leadership. The Ummah Yisraelim have very weak leadership. And much of the leadership they have is all built upon a foundation of sheker. And you see this again and again. The whole world of politics throughout the entire world is kula sheker. And because it's kula sheker, that's why everyone is running. Running here, running there. Everyone is running around like a chicken without a head. No one knows how to deal with the issues of the day. It's not just true for Klal Yisrael, that we unfortunately had charlatans who led us and led us in a bad way, which caused us to go into exile. This pasuk also alludes to the world at large, where the world is a very dangerous place, and most people in this world are depressed. The vast majority of civilization is in a state of depression. Why? There's something wrong. There is a lack of satisfaction in life. If the world, the secular world, had leadership, it would bring people happiness. And one of the great faults of the world, the leaders, it's built on sheker. There is an enormous amount of sheker. And the problem today is there's an acknowledgement, there's sheker, but who cares? Sheker is the MS. Sheker is accepted today as MS. Yeah, that you'll catch someone by a lie. So what? I'm sure many of you have seen that video where the lawyer of the impeachment, fascinating video, where he was confronted by a a broadcaster, a woman from, I think it was from, and I don't remember which station it was from, and he said to her that the evidence was doctored. They created a narrative in a sequence of events, and there was a critical tweet that was part of a conversation which was evidence to prove that the defendant incited violence. And the only problem was that tweet was written in the year was written in a different year. It was written in the year 2019 or 2020 versus 2021. It was a completely irrelevant. But they deliberately photoshopped this. It's unreal. It's mamish criminal activity. Criminal activity. Deliberately photoshopped the tweet to change the date. Deliberately, that it was the year 2021. I mean, that's incredible. That's criminal. And this was presented in front of the entire world, in front of the Senate, the Senate as evidence, as a storyline, a narrative of a sequence of events. And when the lawyer of the defendant said to this broadcaster, you know, they doctored the evidence. This is criminal activity. So she said, what's the big deal? Big deal. They changed a date. Change a little date. Change a little number. Little number on the corner of the screen. That's what she said. You got to see this.
That's because they do it themselves.
And he went ballistic. What do you mean, just a little change? Just a little sheker. She was moidish. She admitted. This is sheker. And this is illegal. This is actual criminal. This is criminal activity. This is a real crime to present in front of a jury.
If it were a real court, you'd be correct. Yeah.
This is unbelievable. The doctor evidence, and she admits, yeah, you're right. They deliberately photoshopped evidence in order to create. They almost got away. He said we almost didn't notice it, to create a narrative, and she said, so what? It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
that it's a lie. Could you imagine that? Doesn't matter. You're right, it's sheker, but sheker is emes. That's what she said, in front of the whole world.
It ends justifying the means.
It's unbelievable. So we're living now in a world where the sheker, and that's just one little teeny example of where it's niskale lakoil sheker. And the attitude is, so what? It's okay. Sheker is fine. Sheker is the new MS of this generation. Question is, where in Tanakh do you find such a thing? That's what's so scary. You don't. You don't find. In Nach, you generally find that when there is a revelation of MS, then there's shame. There's acknowledgement. There is humiliation because MS stands on its own. The world is so corrupt where the MS is niskale, it's revealed, and yeah, it's okay. Sheker is the new MS. This cannot go on. Chazal say, MS koi, sheker loy koi. MS endures, sheker does not endure. This situation that we're in today cannot possibly endure. It's impossible. It's an impossibility. This is just a transition. This matzah that we're in today, this generation, this tekufa, it has to be a transition to major change in this world. Because today, more and more MS is coming forth. That's a reality. There's enormous technology. You can't hide today. Everything today is recorded. Everything you do, ayin roye ve'oizen shamas, v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nechtavim, is being revealed. You can't hide. MS today is being revealed like never, ever before. But now we're in a state where we're in denial of the MS. But Chazal say, Emes koi sheker loy koi. It's going to take time to sink in the emes. And being in a state of denial will not go on forever. Ultimately, over time, it may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, ultimately, the human condition, the nature of Emes Koi will burst forth and Sheker will fail. We at least today are living in a time, at least, there's a silver lining. Even all the things that we see that go on that are absolutely outrageous is at least today the MS is being niskala. Years ago, go back 10, 15, 20 years ago, you can get away with anything. You can really get away with that, you know, especially in government, people, the very, very powerful people, they have enormous power. They can hide behind lies and they can really get away with it. Today, you can't get away with a lie. Today it's revealed, but we're in a transition stage where, okay, you got me, so what? Like, the narrative is more important, but that's just a temporary state. This cannot go on, and it will not go on because of Chazal, who tell us, Emes koi, shikro loy koi. Endure. Sheker can have a temporary existence in this world, but to endure for the long term, impossible. And in the Nevi'im, you don't find this. In the Nevi'im, we write here that when the Emes is revealed, it's a whole different world. The Megillah is all about Lekayem Divrei Shalom Vo'emes. It's a very important pasuk in the Megillah. The Megillah is a revelation of Emes. And to celebrate Purim is a celebration of Shalom Ve'emes, which is something to celebrate. Okay, in this world is a celebration of Sheker. And we're having a holiday tomorrow, tonight, which is completely antithesis of the nature of this world, is to celebrate Sheker. To celebrate Sheker and to get away with Sheker. Next words of the Malm. The Malm now goes on to say, that concludes the Malbim. Okay, so the Malbim didn't really say anything really that much different than we learned until now. By the way, if you notice, he did not translate the word chaziz. Okay, everyone, we learned a few perushim as to the translation of the word chaziz. Remember, we learned it means either clouds, or it means wind, or it means lightning. And if you notice, the Malbim was silent. And if we look over here, let's see in the Bir HaMilos, Mitar Malkosh Keshem Chazizim, Malkosh.
I couldn't find the
translation?
The definition of that term in the Malbim.
Hatal Misois.
Yeah, I looked in Dastur and I could not find it. But it sounds like a talisman.
What's a talisman?
Talisman. It has nothing to do with a talis. It's a
good luck charm, right?
A charm or a token that has to do with
the trophim.
How can I describe it? With mazel.
Okay, so I guess that's how he's translating the word the trophim. The trophim is a charm. Rachel stole the trophim. It's an object which brings good luck, or it's used to predict the future. Now let's look over here for a moment in the Bir Hamilos, the Malbim, in the Bir Hamilos, in the words. Malkosh Geshem Chazizim, Malkosh Hua Geshem Hayarid Achre Zman HaGeshem, Malkosh is the late rain. Umotar Vigeshem, Biarti Havdelom. I already explained this elsewhere. Shageshem Hu Hativi, Umotuhu Hahash Gochigi. This is a very good Malam, the Bir HaMilos. Maybe we should spend time doing the Bir HaMilos to learn some good words. The Malam says that there are many Perushim. I think of Kalman yesterday taught us a very important Perush that Geshem represents general rain, when it rains upon a field. And Matar, this is really what the Bible was also saying, Matar is Matara. Matara means a target, where each individual drop of rain has coordinates programmed into its guidance system exactly where it should land where it should be directed. The hashkacha pratis, the individual, the provenance of Hashem, the custom made provenance in where this the motor should land. Return Lamar, Shagan be'es Malkosh yitin motor ideh tfila, that during the time of Malkosh, the late season when it generally does not rain, Hashem will provide motor al yidei tefila through prayer. Through prayer, v'gam yaseh chazizim, and Hashem will also provide chazizim. Oh, so here he actually translates it for us in the Bera Milos. Heim ho'anonim, the clouds. This is what Rashi said, and this is what the Mitzudas David said. It means clouds. Ho'etshim, why they call chazizim? Ho'etshim b'soicham edim. They store within them moisture. Ishiyim ha'misabachim Habarok veho ra'am. Now, what does that mean? The barak means lightning, ra'am means thunder. And ishiyim, what does the word ishiyim mean? Ishiyim means individual. It means, I think it means like an ish Yehudi, which are, it stores a dim ishiyim. I'm not sure what this means. I think it's a collection of moisture. I think it means over here, it means a ishiyim loshen rabim.
Like it has something to do with fire or fiery?
Yeah, that would be the barak. Edim ishiyim. Maybe, okay, you want to say it means fiery moisture?
What's the toxic mix? Oh, I see. Edim, that's the aid. That's,
aid means the aid yalem in haaretz. The aid yalem means moisture, a mist,
a vapor.
Vapor will rise up from the earth, it goes into the clouds. The clouds are storing within them. I think it means. I think over here means ishiyim means lashon like he's really like anoshim. You have ish means an individual person. Anoshim means many people. But ish also means an individual object. And when you add the yud mem, it means a collection of individuals, but not human beings. Anoshim are a collection of human beings. Ishiyim perhaps means a collection of items. It means a collection of moisture, collection of vapor. Different types of vapor come together in the clouds, and hamisabivim habarok v'horam, which are like a thicket.
Surround.
Okay, with lightning and thunder. The Yitain Mitar Geshem She'el Geshem Hativi Yosef Motar HaHashgachi Bein Lohem. There is general rain and there is rain that comes down with the Hashgacha Pratis. Hainu L'tzor HaKlal U'bein L'ish Echad V'gam L'Esev Echad Basodeh. Like we said before, that's pretty much what we said before. Okay, that concludes the Malbim. Let's now look at the Mamori Chazal. The Mamori Chazal. Mamori Chazal. Let's see this Mamori Chazal. We didn't do this. The reason why I got confused was because there's a similar Chazal on the previous page. This is different. We didn't do this. Let's now turn to page 806. 806, at the bottom of the page, the words are Hashem Oisa Chazizim Umetar Geshem Yitain Lohem Leish Esa Basodeh Omer Eshlokesh Menayel Lamotar Sheyorid Af Beshvil Yochid. How do you know that rain comes down even for a single individual? Even for one person. The Chsiv it says Shalu Mi Hashem Motor Beis Malkosh Hashem Oisa Chazizim Umetar Geshem Yitain Lohem Leish Esa Basodeh. The pasuk we have learned. Yochol, I would think Sheyorid Motor Rakeshir Sorech Lakol. I would think that rain only comes down when the whole world needs it, when there's a need for the masses, not when only the individual. Talmud Loimar Leish, even for a single person, Hashem will send rain to an entire community if one person needs the rain. V'tanya, we have a brisa. I Leish Yochol Rakish Yesh Tzarech L'Chol Tzedaisav. Maybe if Hashem indeed does decide to send rain for a community because there's one person who needs rain. Maybe that's only true if the one person, he needs rain in all of his fields. But if this one person only needs rain in one particular field, if he has 20 fields in the community, and no one else needs rain, he is the only one who needs rain. So we learned, Ish, Hashem will send rain if he's the one who needs rain, provided that all of his fields need rain. But let's say this single person only needs field on one particular plot of land. How do you know? Even if this single individual only needs rain in one field. maybe only if the entire field needs rain. Talmud Loimar Esef, Hashem will provide rain for an entire community, even if one person has one particular field for many, and in that one particular field is one blade of grass that needs rain. Esef, Ki Chod Rav Daniel Bar Ketina, as the following story illustrates, Havlehi Ginsa, he had a garden, a ginas yerek, a garden of vegetables, called Yomachava Ozel the Sayir Lo. Every day he would survey the situation. Uma'ayin Bo, Omar, Hai Meshua Bo Aya, Arugazut Shricha Maya, this row, this patch needs water. The Hai Meshua Loi Bo Aya Maya. And what happened? And whatever he said, that's what happened. Hashem dispatched a cloud to provide rain for that particular patch. But also, one blade of grass. So here it's saying over here a patch. It's not saying the actual blade of grass. It's saying the patch. Okay, let's see. But also, mitra. Vekomashke kol hecha dimiboy lemaya, and rain arrived and watered exactly what it needed. My Hashem is a very holy person. For such a holy person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes to his rescue exactly what he needs. My, what does it mean? Hashem oisech hazizim. Omar Rabbi Yaisi, Rabbi Chanina, Malamit Shechol Tzadik V'Tzadik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisech lo chaziz bifnei atzmo. What is a chaziz over here? According to the brackets, this is a modern day commentator who is inserting this perush. It means a cloud. Hashem provides a unique cloud for every single person. Anon miyuchod hamizuman lohayrid matar al sudaisaf my chazizim. Why is the Belashon Rabbim? Amar Rabbi Yehuda anonim parchois. What are these words? It means clouds that move, that fly. Amar Rabbi Yochanan simon lomatar hamishamish uba kishyesh bashamayim parchois simon lomatar parchois. A sign that it's going to rain is parchois. What does that word mean? My parchois. Amna papam Eva Kilisha to say Eva Simichta. What does that mean? So in the brackets he tells us the parish in Anon Kolush Bitachas La Anon Samich the Ova. You gotta be a meteorologist to understand all this. If there are different layers of clouds, when you go in the airplane, so you get to every people who fly a lot, they become familiar with different types of clouds. And here it's teaching us that there are different layers of clouds, and sometimes there is a weak, a smattering of small clouds in the atmosphere that are lower than thick clouds above them. So if you see in the sky clouds that are weak, that are thin, at an altitude that is lower than clouds that are thick, that are above, that is a sign that it's going to rain. This is a new technique for the meteorologists who still can't get it right. They still can't tell you what's going to be. All the technology we have today, they still can't figure out if it's going to rain tomorrow or not with accuracy. And here is a new simin. The simin over here is Chazal were meteorologists. They knew how to predict rain better than today. All the technology they have today, with all these fancy tech things they have, they say it is an Eva Kilisha to say Eva Simichta, a weak, thin cloud that's below a thick cloud. Okay, now notice over here, something very interesting over here. When you take over this chazal, the chaziz, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates a cloud for each single individual, and take this principle and inject it to the Anane HaKavod of the 40 years in the desert, which further translates into the mitzvah of Bakiba Sukkos Hoshavti Es B'nei Yisrael B'tzeisim Mitzrayim. B'tzeisim Mitzrayim. We have... Sorry? And Hashem took us out. Fine. So we have here the Anani HaKavod. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu choose to protect us specifically with clouds? There are other techniques. Why clouds? Maybe there should be I don't know. You have to use your imagination. But why was it specifically a cloud that was our guidance system in the desert? And why were the clouds the objects Hashem used to protect us from our environment, from our surrounding, to the degree that every year we have a holiday to commemorate the clouds, the Anane HaKavo. There's a dispute in the Gemara as to the reason why we sit in a sukkah. Yesh Oimim Sukkah Mamish. Some say we had actual huts. Okay, we had the canvas, fiberglass, wood, all those companies. They've been in business from time immemorial. We had real huts. And some say we had Anane HaKavod, clouds. Why clouds? So this Chazal, this the psukim over here, and this Chazal opens up for us a whole a layer of appreciation of what is the unique characteristic of a cloud, and that is individuality, hashkocha pratis. La'osa lavoi, not today, but la'osa lavoi, Hashem says that if an individual needs rain, so Hashem will dispatch a cloud just for that person. The person is mispalel. That's what it says over here. Shalu Hashem motar. Ask this pasuk. This is the time of Mashiach. Test Hashem. Make a request. Be'es malkosh, even at a time when it's not supposed to rain. Guess what? Hashem oiseh chazizim. Hashem will create for you, the individual, a custom made cloud. And what's going to happen with this cloud? It will be dispatched to release upon your patch, your garden, umitar geshem, laser targeted rain, yitain lohem, leish, for each single individual, asef, for a particular blade of grass, basodeh, amongst all of you, of a particular field that you own, and not for the other fields, not for the other blades of grass, and not for your neighbor. Now we have to remember in the desert, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he provided man. And the man fell every day. And Chazal tell us the man was delivered to each person differently. Every day it was literally torture. Chazal, Laman anoisicha lina. Lina soisecha, if I'm saying that correctly, that HaKadosh, what does it mean, laman anoisecha? It means torture. What's the torture? It was humiliation. Every morning you come out of your home. Mayor, maybe I should tell you a joke. Mayor, should I tell you a joke, Mayor? Should I tell over you a joke? I have to ask the mayor if I should tell over the joke. It's not such a clean joke. What happened to me? Disappear. You see right in the wrong time. Mayor Appledorf gave me an incredible joke that relates to this in Purim. We'll see if we can say it over in a clean way when he comes back. But every day when a person woke up in the morning, you open up the front door, where is breakfast? Where is my mun? Where is it? So it was a test. Well, are you a good boy? Did you behave yourself? What did you do yesterday? What did you do last night? If you did an Avera, that means you don't deserve the man should fall on your doorstep. You're going to have to go for a walk. You're going to have to go searching. And when a person if your fellow, your neighbors would see in the morning that there's no man on your doorstep, you know what that means? It means that you are not with the program. You have done an avera, and therefore you are not deserving that the man should fall on your doorstep. You're going to have to go on a hike to search for man. And when Hashem wants, after you've got the message that you should be a better person, that's where you will find the man. It was humiliating amongst your neighbors if you would wake up in the morning and the man would not be on your doorstep, because that would be a public indication, a public revelation that you are not who you pretend to be. And for yourself as well, every time a person has a nisoyon, you know, I want to take off some time. I want to relax. I want to do an aver. I want to go watch a movie. I want to go and do things that I should not, talk a little lashon hara, talk during davening. I want to go do this, do that. You realize I can't do this, because if I can't do this, tomorrow my mun will not arrive on my doorstep. It was a very great challenge, 40 years, to maintain a certain degree of holiness and discipline in Ruchnius in order to to maintain your lifestyle, so to speak, that you are a holy person and the month comes on your doorstep. So what do we learn from that? We learn that the Parnosa and Eret in the Midbar was tailor-made. It was very, very specific to the individual. Not like today, where you get a job. No, you get a job. No one's looking if you're a tzaddik, you're a rasha. You work hard, you go to school, you get a job. So the check, the money comes in. It doesn't make a difference if you're a tzaddik, you're a rasha, you're this, you're that. No, everything is a big secret today because everything is covered up. But in the desert, it wasn't like that. In the desert, there was unusual hashkacha pratis. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu guided us for 40 years. And therefore, it's not a coincidence that the protection was employed through the clouds. Because the clouds, especially the way it is presented in this particular pasuk, represents the principle of hashkacha pratis to the nth degree. Each you need rain, pray to Hashem. He will dispatch a custom-made cloud, and it will arrive exactly where you need it to provide the particular selected blade of grass with what it needs. All of this is through the custom-made cloud. Cloud represents hashkacha pratis. The Midbar was a time of hashkacha pratis. Therefore, there were Anani Akava. The Yom Tov of Sukkot is a celebration, not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us 40 years in the desert. It is a celebration of Hashkacha Pratis. Ki Basukkos Hashavti Yisbnei Yisrael B'Yotziyom O'Yisom Yeretz Mitzrayim. I took them out in Sukkos. I provided each person exactly what he needed. That's the lesson. It's not a general description of HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected us. It's much more than that. It's a shemira b'hashkacha pratis. We actually discussed this yesterday, last night, when we learned the chumash about the siddur about Mordechai. Mordechai is called in the Shoshanas Yaakov Tzolav Esamecha. Okay, we're not going to repeat the whole shir, but one point we made was that in the Shoshanas Yaakov we compare Haman to Mordechai. We don't just say in the Shoshanas Yaakov, Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. We say, Arur Haman Asher Bikesh Le'abdi, who sought to destroy Le'abdi. What's the Yud doing there? If we were writing this piyut, we would probably write, Arur Haman Asher Bikesh Le'abed, who sought, who desired to destroy. But it's not what it says. Asher bikesh le'abedi. There is a yud at the end of the word, which means he wanted to destroy me. I. What do you mean I? That's not true. He wanted to destroy the entire nation, Klal Yisrael. And then where it says, Baruch Mordechai, if you were writing the people, what would you write? Baruch Mordechai. But that's not what it says in the Shoshanas Yaakov. It says, Ubaruch Mordechai HaYehudi. What's that? HaYehudi is taken from the Megillah where it says, Ish Yehudi. What's the word Ish? What is Haman? A female? He's a Isha? Isha Yehudi? He's an Ish? He's not a Martian. He's not an animal. What's the word ish? The word ish doesn't mean a human being. The word ish Yehudi means he was an individual. He was all alone. He was all alone. No support system. No fans. No one was giving him likes on his Facebook account because it was canceled. He had nothing. He was just an ish, an individual all alone. And as we discussed yesterday at length, Klal Yisrael at this time was not a nation. Klal Yisrael was just a collection of people. As Haman himself says, miforod, mifuzar, umiforod bein ho'amim. There's no nation. They're just a bunch of individuals scattered throughout the world. Mifuzar umiforod. And one of these people who was scattered throughout the world was an Ish Yehudi, just a single person with no connection to anyone. Haman felt threatened by the individuals. He realized, he knew better than us, Haman, that if these individuals come together, they all come together and form a tzibur, then he's finished. And the reason why he was in a better position to do what he planned was because it was exactly that. They were mefuzar u'mefarad. And Mordechai was just one of the people. He was the ish, the individual. And what was the goal of Haman? Arur Haman asher bikesh le'abdi, to destroy me, the one person. He wasn't bikesh la'abey the whole klal yishol. He was mevakesh to destroy the yochid, the individual, to prevent the individuals from coming together and forming a group. Meir, you know, I mentioned you. We discussed the man. We walked out. We discussed the man falling. The man was falling by the doorstep. So I said, I don't know if I can tell over a dirty joke. So I'll tell it over. Okay, you won't tell anyone, Rabbi Yisai.
You want me to say it?
This is for no. I know. I don't. I'm gonna say it, because if you're gonna say it, it's not gonna come out good. It's gonna be censored. Now maybe we shouldn't say it. Now I'll get everyone very. I tease you, everyone. Okay, I'll just tell you the joke. The joke basically is Ms. Mary joking, and Rabbi Yisai, don't tell this to anyone. And if there are any women listening, sorry, you have to go out of the room. And the joke basically is, in the Megillah, in the Torah, in the Midbar, where did the man fall? It fell, it all depended. If you were a tzaddik, it fell on your doorstep. If you were not a tzaddik, it fell in your on the street. If you were a bad guy, you had to go searching far and wide. What is this called? The man. The Haman. Kizeragad. The man is called the Haman. The man is usually in the Torah when it says word man, it's the Haman who kizera God, the Haman. In the Megillah, the man didn't just come at your doorstep. The man landed on your bed. The Haman fell al hamita. The man fell mamish on the bed. Okay.
By the way, you mentioned about the Ananekavod. Why Ananim? Because I was there in Sinai. I remember at the beginning. And there is no cloud in the desert. There's no rain. There's no cloud.
Excellent. So this is the Hashkocha.
Exceptional. To give you an Anan. Not only this, but Anan Kaved Alahar. And there was another Anan, even though so everybody knew that this Anan is a special thing. It's not a natural thing, because there's no nature there.
The whole nature of a cloud is hashkocha pratis. Ad hayom hazeh, the meteorologists cannot predict with accuracy, not even close, to the nature of the trajectory and the altitude and all of the various dimensions of the clouds regarding if it will provide rain. It's still ad hayom hazeh, it's still out of their reach. And this just illustrates the koyach of the hashkocha protis that is symbolized with the concept, the metaphor of a cloud, And that opens up a whole new appreciation for the Yom Tov of Sukkos. It's not just salvation. It is Hashkocha Pratis. Pesach, it appears to be more of a general salvation. There was the Yetzias Mitzrayim. The nation went out. Sukkos is Hashkocha Pratis. It's not that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt as a nation, as a klal, as a group. He created an Am. We now have a seat in the United Nations. Sukkos is, okay, you're a nation, but in the nation, every single person is taken care of. Every single person is unique. Every single person is, I have a custom-made plan and purpose for the individual. Okay, let's go to the next Chazal. And the last word on the page, on page 806, Rabbi Berechia, Rabbi Chelboy. Okay, this goes on to the next page, page 807. Rabbi Berechia and Rabbi Chelboy, Papa, B'shem Rabbi Le'ozer. Okay, this is a typical type of Yerushalmi, right? This is Yerushalmi. In Yerushalmi, the way names are presented are a little bit bizarre. The way they spell names, missing letters, and you know the prefixes and suffixes is not what we're familiar with. But here we have a collection of people. We have Rabbi Berechia, Rabbi Chelboy, Papa, B'shem Rabbi Le'ozer. His name was Chelboy Papa, two names, that's almost impossible. In the time of the Gemara, there's almost never a time when you have a person that has more than one name. What does he say? Pamim Le'ozer is like Eliezer. In the Yerushalmi, they typically leave out the Aleph. What does he write? Pam near Tom Shagasham, Yardim Bischus Adam Echot. Sometimes rain comes in the merit of one person. Bischus Esav Echot, Bischus Sode Echot, Ushloshan Pasik Echot. This pasuk, "Matar Geshemitain Lachem Lish Esa Besada Liish Avolil Anoshim." It says, "With ish for an individual, not for man, not for the tzibor." It says, "LeEsa Avolil Asadim Basade Avoloi Basadois." The Yerushalmi's focus is the fact that each single word here is written b'loshen Yochid, not b'loshen Rabin. Okay, next Chazal, Chamisha Shemos Nikuloi. This is a beautiful Chazal. This Chazal is beautiful. There are five different terms in Tanakh to describe, to refer to a cloud. And whenever you have something like this, obviously it goes to show the multidimensional nature of Tanakh and of the sophistication of this world. Chamisha Shemais Nikru'u Loi, Eid. Eid is a cloud. Ov is a cloud. Onan is a cloud. Nosi, okay, you know that? The word Nosi also means a cloud, a prince. We call it a prince. What's the real word? When we call a human being who is a prince, is that the real meaning of the word? Or maybe it's a borrowed term.
It's something that carries.
Carries, right. A nasi. So when we, many people, the nasi means a prince. And now when you say that it means a cloud, wait a minute. So that means that the prince is, who says the word nasi is the real meaning? Maybe it's a borrowed term. The word nasi, as Rambam just said, means something that's carried. A cloud carries water, and the prince carries his people. Obligation. He has an obligation to carry on his shoulders the burden of the people. He's not here for a free lunch, the Nasi. Person who's a Nasi has a job to take care of people. Nasi, Chaziz. Now, he skips the whole Chazal. Just what is Chaziz? Shehu Oise Es Harakil. You have to define the different dimension of a cloud, all the different facets of what a cloud is. And what is the word chazis? The word chazis, shu oises or akia chezyoinois, chezyoinois. She mixas, mekoimois, nidim, mixas, mix, mixosam, michusim, shashemesh, vahayarech, pomim, michusim, baanonim. It's a beautiful chazal. And again, it finds over here a whole new world of, a whole new insight into the symbolism of a cloud, which will also carry over to every time you talk about clouds. We had this before. The word chaziz really means chose, a seer, to gaze, to look. To the degree that the Radak told us, the word chaziz means lightning. Not everyone here said the word chaziz means a cloud. The Radak said the word chaziz means lightning. Why? Because when there's lightning, you see something. It shakes you up. You're seeing something unusual. So you're chose. I'm seeing a bolt of lightning. It makes itself seen, the bolt of lightning. Well, Chazal similarly take note that it refers to the word that it refers to the principle of seeing, But what it means is clouds obscure the heaven. Sometimes, when they want. Sometimes you can.
Rabbi, it's in Chaziz and the Gemara. Sometimes it's a machal behema is Chaziz, I think. Also, it's a different.
Okay, could be that that's maybe using an Aramaic. Lashon chachamim, lashon Torah luchod, and lashon chachamim luchod. So it could be it could be in Aramaic, and it could be it's used there differently in the Gemara. But
even the word nasi in Targum is not always translated the same way. Targum uses different depending on where the word nasi is in the Chumash. It is a different Targum for different times in the Chumash. Sometimes it says one word, and sometimes it uses the word Asgud from the word Asgud, obviously. But it's funny. Some it's not always the same.
It's not consistent. Okay. So here he's saying a very beautiful idea that clouds, the reason why they're called chaziz because clouds sometimes allow you to see the sun or the different parts of the heaven, and sometimes they obscure that vision. That's why they're called chaziz. There is a time when Hashem wants you to see, and there is a time when Hashem does not want you to see. Peekaboo. Hide and seek. Hide and seek, like a mask. It masks the heavens, and that's a message. Hashem doesn't always want you to see what's going on. V'anochi haster aster ponai b'yamahu. Moshe Rabbeinu, he came down from Shemayim, he put on a masveh. He was the first person in the history of the world to wear a mask. Moshe Rabbeinu, he came down from Shemayim, he put a masveh. Why? We did not merit to see the radiance of his ponim that was infused with sanctity. And when he taught Klal Yisrael, he took off the masveh. He took off the masveh. And when he finished teaching Klal Yisrael Torah, he put the masveh back on. The clouds is the masveh of Hashem. Sometimes Hashem, you have the Tcheles. Tcheles is Doime L'Yam. The Yam is Doime L'Rukia. Rukia is Doime L'Kis Yaakovot. The Rukia is part of the process of coming to the Kisei HaKavod. And sometimes Hashem doesn't want you to see. He doesn't want you to appear to see. That's the purpose of a cloud. The cloud is a screen. Sometimes it's open, sometimes it's closed, all depending on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to know every single thing that's going on in this world. You only have to know what you need to know. I always like this. I tell you this a few times. Why did Hashem create in this world something called sleep? Why do you have to go to sleep? Why, if Hashem does not sleep, so why could Hashem not create us as beings that never ever sleep? Hine lo yonum v'lo yishan. You know what the message is? There are many reasons why. Is to teach man, you don't have to know everything. When a person is sleeping, you don't know what's going on. You're not aware of a machar. You're not aware of all the news, what's happening in the world. You're alive. You're alive. You're healthy. But things are going on in the world. Guess what? You're out of the loop. No one's telling you what's going on. You have to know every single thing that's going on in the world. Like in these people, they subscribe to channels where every emergency, 911 emergency, they get on WhatsApp. What do you need to know? This guy in the Bronx got shot, and this guy, there's a fire going on in Queens somewhere, and there's a hot solo call somewhere in Albany. Who cares? What do you have to know everything? What purpose do you gain by knowing everything? Even the news, you have to know every single thing that happened in the news. You have to know what you need to know. What you need to know. Hashem put a person to sleep at night to give you a message. When you're sleeping, you don't know what's going on. Maybe learn from that even when you're awake, shelter yourself from information. Focus on the information that is necessary, that is important for you to know, for you to fulfill your mission. Clouds do just that. It's a reminder that sometimes what's in Shemayim is obscured. It's not for you to see. Privacy. Privacy is important. Not everything has to be out in the open.
The proof is that God could do like that. Moshe didn't eat sleep or drink for 40 days, and he changed his makeup. So he was able to withstand that.
He was able to withstand. He made lo yonum v'lo yishon. So he's saying a very profound idea. The reason why Moshe was able to overcome that is because be'etzem, being that man is created in the tzelem elokim, that's a basic principle. Ki b'tzelem elokim osu es ha'adam. Man is created in the image of Hashem. If it says about Hashem, hine lo yonum v'lo yishon, shomer Yisrael, it's explicit. So how then could it be that man goes to sleep? Man cannot, if a person makes a neder, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. It's a shvua shav. It's impossible. So you're saying that that's impossible for the average man. But somehow, deep down in there, it is possible. It has to be possible. Because being that, ki b'tzelem elokim osa esa adam, and Hashem, it says, ki ne lo yunu v'lo yishan. So there has to be some hechatimsa where such a thing is possible. Whatever that means. All right, let's finish up over here in Mamar Chazal. Okay, then he comes over here. Hashem oisech hazizifan. Next Chazal. Lefi she'efra she'afara shalhar kal v'shal biko shomein. The earth of a mountain, the dust of a mountain is light. Go to a mountain, you start digging, the dust, the soil is light. And v'shal biko valley is shomein, it's fat. They're nutrients, they're minerals. There are minerals and nutrients. Yachlau think Yuha Mayim Garshim as offer Lumakam Bika. I think that the Mayim, the water, shall drive the earth to the Bika. Vitiya Bika Mukhuseras Mayim. What does that mean exactly? The Mayim will drive the earth to the place of a Bika, and the Bika will be lacking Mayim. Tamaloimar Eretz Harim Uvikois Lefi Har Lefi Mashahu Biko Lefi Mashahu Vikhenu Omer Shalum Hashem Motar Beis Malkash. I don't know what this means. I don't want to spend time. Let's whatever it means, let's just go further. Vachalobis Pasik Base, I want to go Vachalobis Shashav Yidaberu Shmuel Kiyav Chose Chelma Bisho Omar. When Shmuel would have a bad dream. This is the famous Gemara Masech the Brachos about the Haroya, the dreams. So what do you do when you have a bad dream? You mevatel the dream. When you wake up in the morning, you have a bad dream, so you're supposed to right away say a pasuk that cancels the dream. He would say, he would quote this very pasuk that we learned. V'chalamos, dreams are nothing. Don't pay attention, don't focus. V'chalamos, hashav yidaberu. Ki avichoz lechel motovo, Omar. He would say the same exact pasuk, but say it as a rhetorical question. V'chi hachaloimois, hashav yidaberu. Do they mean nothing? But if achsiv, it says, b'chaloim adaber boy. Okay, so here you take a pasuk, and you just, it's a matter of how you express it. If you express it as a statement, it's bad, it's meaningless, but you can say it as a rhetorical question. Are dreams nothing? Of course they're not. They're very valuable. Hashem spoke to Moshe. When Hashem speaks to a prophet, it says in the pasuk, "Bechalom adaber boy." Like in Moshe, Moshe is different, but a regular person, Hashem speaks to in a dream. But it says, how could he say that? But the pasuk simply says, "Uchsev v'chalomos hashav yidaber." The Gemara asks a question. No, I'm sorry. That's it. Period. Okay, fine. Period. Okay, that ends that Gemara. Rava, he doesn't like this pshat. Rava does not want to suggest that you can read a pasuk as a rhetorical statement, but rather it is a statement that has to be read one way. He says he posed the following contradiction. Rami, Ksivis is one pasuk. Hashem speaks to a prophet through dreams, but on the other hand, there's another pasuk that this pasuk, when we read it the way it's written, it states that dreams are worthless. They have absolutely no meaning, no value, nothing to worry about. And he gives you a very fascinating answer, which goes to show that we really know nothing about what goes on in the other world. We shouldn't make believe that we know anything. And he says, like kosher kan al yidei malach, kan al yidei shade. There are two magidim. There are two. Person has a dream. Who who is the one providing the dream, is putting the message in a person's mind? Is it being put in a person's mind by an angel, or is it being put into a person's mind by a shade, a demon? If it's a demon, it's nonsense. If it is being put into a person's mind by a malach, then there is value. And that's how we answer the contradiction. There are two major things to take out of this chazal. Number one, you see a fundamentally different approach to learning Tanakh between Shmuel and Rav. There are certain shiurim tapes. Over the years, I've come across different shiurim and even svarim that give you guidance how to learn Tanakh. There's a very famous shiur by Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It's an audio shiur. He once gave a shiur to Melamdim, and he gave them guidance. When you teach Tanakh, there are certain principles that you should be aware of, and it should guide you in how you teach Tanakh. And there are, there's a whole collection today of these type of books. And this Maimer Chazal should be included, in my worthless opinion, in that guidance, in that course. There's a machlokes between Rava and Shmuel. We have here a pasuk here in Sefer Zechariah. And the pasuk is discussing, the Navi is giving Musar to the Jewish people about their leadership in the past. And they had people who had told, who were dreamers, and told them nonsense. And people listened to the dreamers, and they went down the wrong path, and they suffered enormously because of the bad advice. And here Zechariah says, now years later, you're going to come to realize in hindsight that the dreamers were charlatans. You're going to realize, v'chaloi mois, the dreamers, the people who had dreams, hashav yidaberu, they spoke words of falsehood. Now that's a statement. That's not a rhetorical question. That's a statement. There's a pasuk. There's pshat. It's pshat in the pasuk. Ein nikra yoytze midei pshutai. Period. Rava is teaching you. That's how you learn Tanakh. Don't use Tanakh as source material to make up new things. If the way the pasuk is presented is a statement, you're going to come to realize the dreamers are worthless, nonsense. That's what it means. Shmuel has a very different approach to the study of Tanakh. And he gives you a license to take a pasuk, an expression, take a sharp knife, cut it out of the book, and use those words and manipulate them, express it with a different flavor, as a rhetorical question, with a different nuance of expression, to legitimately present an entirely different idea. And Shmuel says, if you have a good dream, you have to say to yourself, Is a dream nothing? Is a dream nothing? Of course it's not. It's not nothing. Of course it's valuable. He's giving you a license to take a pasuk out of its pshat and utilize it in a beneficial way. Rav says, don't you dare do that. That's an abuse. It's an abuse of the holy Sefer. And therefore, Rava's whole mahalach is avastira. On the one hand, it says that Hashem says to gives Musa to Miriam and Aaron, how dare you say Lashon Hara about Moshe? Moshe, I speak to him, panim upon him. Other prophets, I speak to them through dreams. Oh, that pasuk is a statement. It's good. And here it says dreams are nothing. You take the pasuk the way it says it. Contradiction. So then we learn the second massive chiddush is that there are two different types of dreams. A dream that comes through a shade, and a dream that comes through a malach. Now that, obviously, we have no understanding of what that means. But you see a whole different approach to looking at it. I'll give you a classic example. There are many songs, many of the popular songs were taken from Tanakh way out of context. Not only in songs, for example, Ish El Re'ehu Yoimar Chazak. You ever hear Rav Fried? Chazak, 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 Vinis Chazek. And he goes on, and part of the lyrics is Ish El Re'ehu Yoimar Chazak. One man says to his fellow man, be strong, be strong. And that's very, you know, that's this year especially, the very difficult year, there's a very popular melody. Ish El Re'ehu Yoimar Chazak. Where does that come from? It comes from Sefer Yeshaya. Now, if you open up Sefer Yeshaya, and you go to that, to the beginning of Yeshaya, towards the very beginning, towards the beginning of Yeshaya, and you open up the Pasuk, and you go through the Mefarshim, do you know what that Pasuk means? According to virtually every single Mefarsh on the page, it means you go into a factory where they manufacture idols, Avodah Zarah, and you select the best wood, and you select the best gold plating, and the best nails, and you hire the best craftsman who knows how to really design exotic idols that you bow down to and worship, and say, Eilo Lehecho Yisrael, and you stand over him, and you tell him, be very careful, when you make for me my idol, my beautiful idol that I'm going to worship and bow down to, be very careful. Ish, El Re'ehu, the Balabayas, who's paying for this, he says to his friend, the craftsman, when you make the idol, Chazak, do it very good. Be very careful. Be very precise. That's what it means. That is mamish what the pasuk means in Yeshaya. And that's what everyone says it means. That's what the whole perek is about, the Avodah Zarah, making the Avodah Zarah. So how in the world does it happen that you take a pasuk that is referring to Avodah Zarah, and that's what everyone there says on the page, there's almost no exception, and take those words and make it into a song, and we all shuckle together, Chazak, 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 Vinis, Chazek, and the whole melody goes on when you say, Ish El Re'ehu Yoim Chazak. This is the biggest joke. This is the biggest joke. What in the world is going on? So the answer is, wait, not so fast. First of all, there is, I think, one obscure Mefarash that says that it's not in reference to Avodah Zarah. So maybe if you're an enikel of him, you're from Mamish, from the Yechidei school, to me, enikel, maybe you can steltzu to that Mefarash, right? But the truth is, look at Rava. Rava does just that. Otherwise, look at Shmuel. Shmuel just does just that. Shmuel wakes up in the morning, has a wonderful dream. He has a wonderful dream. And what does he say? He takes a pasuk, and he takes a pasuk and he says, V'chaloimois, v'chaloimois, hashav yedaberu. Our dreams chop liver. I had a wonderful dream. I had a dream that Meir Appledorf is Mashiach. V'chaloimois, hashav yedaberu.
The donkey is here.
Hashav yedaberu. Is it nothing? Excuse me, Shmuel, how dare you? That's not what it says here. Here it says, V'chaloimois, the pshat, there's no one here that disagrees. The whole page, everyone says, dreams are worthless. How dare you take these words and manipulate them? But he does just that. Because Shmuel is giving you a lesson in Tanakh. You're allowed to do that. Rava says you're not allowed to do that. If Rava, if he goes to Eichler's, he will not purchase the album from Avram Fried where they play this melody. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek, ish el re'ehu yom chazak. Rava will say this is an abuse. This is not a way you learn Tanakh. You don't take words that refer to Avodah Zarah and transform them into words of giving chizik one to your fellow man. Rava will not be purchasing this album in Eichler's. Sorry, don't count on him. But Shmuel will. Shmuel will tell his children, that's right, that's valid. That is correct Okay, so this is a yesod. We see this coming right out of the page over here. A disagreement how you can learn Tanakh. And as far as dreams are concerned, well, there are different types of dreams. There are dreams that come from holy sources, dreams that come from non-holy sources. For a person today to say, whenever you hear every so often in news, in Yeshiva World News, and Matzev, this person had a dream. A gadol came to him and told him Mashiach is coming. I've been hearing these stories my whole life, and Mashiach didn't come yet. I've been hearing these stories, this person, he died, a relative came to me in a dream, Mashiach's mamish at the door, this, that, coming Pesach. You know how many years I've been hearing stories like this? People have been dreams. So when the next time you hear a dream, someone who died, he came to their relative in a dream and told them that Mashiach's coming tomorrow. Remember, people have been having these dreams for a long time. Are these dreams really true? Or are people hallucinating? These things are very, very dangerous. The Gemara here does make an acknowledgement. You can have a dream. Sometimes, today, they say today, any dream you have today is just a figment of your imagination. There's no communication whatsoever with the other world today. No way. No one today is on a level where it should be so foolish to think we're so holy that someone's going to come communicate with us from the other world. And even if they do communicate with us from the other world, guess what? The Gemara here tells us most of those communications are baloney. They're not rooted in emes. They come from this concept called a shade, whatever that means. So to say, number one, you had a communication, come on. And even if you did have a communication, which is, again, like far-fetched, it's much, much more likely 99% of the time the communication came, as over here this Chazal tells us, from a source that is not valid. So the words really, the dreams really mean nothing. Okay, we're going to stop over here, take a very, very short break. There's no coffee today, obviously. We're going to go in a few minutes, we'll learn about Purim. I want to tell you a little bit, Purim halacha, and I'll tell you, I'll wind down with some machshava, a little drush, in honor of having our Friday share tomorrow on the parasha. So we'll wind down with a little drush on Purim. So tonight, Rabbi said, there's no shir. Obviously, tonight, there's no shir tonight. And tomorrow, there is no shir. I would really love to come visit all of you. I would be very honored if I can come to you to visit you. That would be very nice if I can do that, but it's very unlikely. I have some people that I have to lay in the Megillah for. They are shut-ins. I have my black and elderly couple. Not an elderly couple, young couple. I shouldn't say that. It's not nice. I have on my block, we have two people on the block, actually. Forgot about that one. And I have to go somewhere else. All right, so I have tomorrow a very unusual day because I've committed myself to laying the Megillah for some people who can, literally cannot get out of the house. Literally.
So and, the question is, when will you be available?
Right, it's a short day. So if anyone would like to come over, please call me. Most of you have my number. Just please call me. If I don't answer, I'll call you back as soon as I can. Okay, I commit myself to that, call you back as soon as I can. And maybe we can meet up. Maybe I can come to you, or maybe you'll come to me, or whatever.
I'm willing to be a central station. I'll take all the shop letters and I'll deliver it.
Beautiful.
And it's like you remind me of the story that they announce after a Shabbos, after like people are dressed in Shabbos clothing and they're running around the whole day, and then it's Shabbos. So the guy in the shul makes an announcement: "Rabbi, Shabbos, please empty your pockets. If you don't carry in the street, if you don't use the Eruv, please don't forget clean out your pockets. You shouldn't carry. If you have any money, just give it to me. I'll take it."
My great-great-grandfather, Rabbi Beresh, Rabbi Yosef Alevi Appledore.
May his neshama have an aliyah, so we'll learn ili nishmasai. May his neshama have an aliyah. Okay, so Rabbi